Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio, a podcast where we share stories from people around the world who are using cannabis as medicine. The information is meant to raise awareness about the health benefits of cannabis, but should not be taken as medical advice. Now, here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
It's not often we get to interview someone who is using cannabis during pregnancy. In fact, we've only done one interview on this topic, and it was with a woman who got so sick during pregnancy that she couldn't eat, was losing weight, had to be hospitalized. She took cannabis every 8 hours during her pregnancy, and her kids today are healthy and vibrant. And our guest today also takes cannabis, is pregnant. She takes it for Crohn's and is joining us from Colorado to tell her story is Annette Marino. Annette, thanks very much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Were you taking cannabis prior to getting pregnant?
I was. It's kind of a funny story. I actually think that cannabis helped me get pregnant as well, but I was a cannabis patient prior to getting pregnant.
Fantastic. Now, tell us about your use of cannabis during pregnancy.
So right now, I have a protocol that I use daily where I use a combination of edibles and FICO to control my symptoms. I probably do a green-sized dose of FICO 3 times a day with a larger size at night. I take about 100 to 200 milligrams of edibles in the morning time and in the afternoon as my daily dose. And then I also utilize concentrates to control any sudden symptoms that I have. Sometimes I have a nausea or cramping that comes up depending if I'm eating something I shouldn't be eating, or if I'm stressed out. Sometimes those kinds of things will irritate my symptoms. So I'll use concentrates as well, but I also use topicals and suppositories. So cannabis topicals on my stomach, or I'll put them in my belly button, as well as suppositories to help control my symptoms as well if I have a flare up. So those are just some of the things that I do.
How far along are you?
I am in my 9th month. I am actually due the 26th of this month.
26. So we'll be posting this on the 28th. So by the 28th, you will be a mother.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
or celebrating my birthday, giving birth. So we'll see.
Is this your first child?
This is my second.
Your second. Now, can I ask you, did you do cannabis during your first pregnancy?
So actually, with my first pregnancy, cannabis was not medically legal yet. And it wasn't recreationally legal, either. I had used cannabis recreationally, at the time that, of my first pregnancy. And at that time I wasn't very knowledgeable about cannabis. I had just used it recreationally. And so when I found out I was pregnant, my doctor, knew that I had used cannabis and made me feel pretty terrible about it. So my mentality around it was completely different. I actually was drug tested my entire pregnancy, and treated like a criminal. And when I gave birth in the hospital, I had social services actually come, and, give me a whole lecture about cannabis, even though I didn't use cannabis during my pregnancy with my first one. It was just because they had known about prior cannabis usage that they, did that. So, but no, I had no cannabis usage during my first pregnancy.
What did the doctor say to you?
Well, my doctor at the time told me that my baby could possibly have brain damage, that they would come out with withdrawal symptoms, that my child would possibly be taken away from me, and just that it was very detrimental to their health. Those were the blanket statements that were just said to me. And at the time I was 21 and, just kind of a kid. And I in a situation where I was surprised having a baby. And so I just kind of, took that to heart and really felt like I had done something wrong, actually, back then. But obviously have different mentality about it now.
Annette, is your daughter aware of your cannabis use this time around?
This time around, yes. I actually am working with a midwife this time, and I've decided to give a home birth. And my midwife is aware of my cannabis usage and supportive of it.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Do you have any fears of the whole social services scenario happening again?
You know, fears, no. I'm not afraid of it. Do I anticipate it being a possibility? I do, because I am aware of just the mandatory reporting that is required of healthcare providers, and I'm very vocal about my cannabis usage. I don't hide it. If anybody asks me about it, I'm straight up honest about it. But the difference for me this time around is that I feel very educated about my cannabis usage. I am very intentional with what I'm doing, and I just feel like I have the knowledge and behind me to back up what I'm saying, and I'm ready to take on that challenge if I have to cross that bridge, because I'm totally okay with advocating what's right for me and my child.
Annette, how much cannabis have you had today?
Today, let's see. So I started out with my first morning dose. It's getting closer to the afternoon, so I probably need to do that soon. Thanks for reminding me. So I've had 100 milligrams of edibles this morning, and I also had my dose of cannabis oil. So it's been kind of a small dose morning, getting towards the afternoon where I'm going to need to take my afternoon dose here. It is about noon. So that's about it. It's about 100 milligrams of edibles at this time, and then just my dose of FICO.
I asked you that because I just want to sort of show listeners that you're very obviously together and, you know, not blasted out of your skull or whatever.
Oh, no, no.
You're completely able to function, and you sound totally, in quotations, normal, you know?
Oh, totally. I mean, I think a lot of people, when I tell them about how much cannabis I ingest to control my symptoms, they're like, how do you function? And I have to say, I always tell people, when I first started my protocol, it took me some time to adjust. It took me some time to adjust to the way that cannabis made me feel, because of course, you know, when you start introducing it to your system, you are going to feel a little bit high. But my body is using the medicine at this point. So I don't have that high sensation.
Exactly.
I'm totally able to just go about my business and go to the grocery store, take my kids to school. Work on a couple different businesses, drive my car, just all the normal things that I was not doing before cannabis.
Yeah, it's fascinating that people will question cannabis use in daily life, but they won't question the use of pharmaceutical drugs in daily life.
Right. And pharmaceutical drugs really wreaked havoc on my life prior to me turning to cannabis. It was actually a really big step for me to take the plunge into cannabis, partially because of my experience when I was pregnant and just feeling like the stigma behind it. Even here in Colorado, there's still a little bit of stigma being a cannabis patient. And the world that I lived in prior to becoming a patient, I did not know anyone who really was a cannabis patient. And if they did, they kept it really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been a big life change for me. And I've had to stick to my guns, because I have a lot of naysayers. And when it comes to what I'm doing, like I said before, I was doing, I did all sorts of pharmaceuticals, when I finally got my diagnosis of Crohn's, and we started talking about the options, Humira and all sorts mm-hmm. of steroids, I just couldn't do it anymore. I could not take another pill. I could not. I was so overweight and couldn't. At that time, I wasn't really eating. I couldn't work. I was in pain all of the time. I just had no quality of life. And I couldn't see me taking another painkiller. I couldn't see me taking just any more of what they were giving me. And my partner at the time is we had just started seeing each other. He's a cannabis patient for cancer. And he's actually the one that kind of convinced me to take the plunge. I mean, I had seen what it had been doing for him. But I just wasn't sure if it was going to do the same for me. So it was a big plunge, but I'm so glad I took it.
How long have you been using cannabis?
It's been two years now.
Okay, so when you started out, did you have this whole regime like you're doing now, or did you start out very slowly?
I started out very slowly, simply because I was afraid. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how I was going to feel. At the time, I had a government contract job, so it was very, very frowned upon what I was doing.
Right. What did you use
and
first?
What did I use first? I used FICO first. It was the first thing I ever used. I started out just using just the grain size dose for it.
Okay, so high THC?
And high THC, not so much. It was a one-to-one.
Okay, so one-to-one THC CBD, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just for listeners' clarification, FICO, full extract cannabis oil.
Yes.
Or some people say fucking excellent cannabis oil.
Yes. So I did start out using FICO, and that did wonders to help control my symptoms. But as I started learning more and I started researching different cannabinoids, I quickly found that CBG was a cannabinoid that really helped me with my condition. So I started looking for different edibles or topical concentrates that I could use to add to my regimen that would help me get more of that cannabinoid into my system.
Annette, how old were you when you were diagnosed with Crohn's?
I was 29 when I was diagnosed.
29.
Yes. It'd been a couple of years that I'd been going through the process of trying to figure out what was wrong with me. because after the birth of my son is when I started having symptoms.
I see. Okay. But
So from there, it was just kind of a process of elimination, going through the doctors, testing, just trying to find answers.
Yeah, I've known several people who've had Crohn's disease, and it's not pleasant to live with, is it?
No, it's not. there were very much days where I just didn't know how I was going to make it. I didn't know. I remember one day sitting on my bed and just thinking, how am I going to make it to 65? How am I going to make it? How am I going to make it to my son's graduation? Because I don't want to live my life like this anymore. I can't. I was so miserable. I was in so much pain all the time that it took a toll on my mental health. And I just couldn't see myself continuing to live my life the way I was living it. Something had to give.
I'm wondering, did you have any suicidal thoughts?
Yeah, there was very much that and depression, anxiety. That I dealt with, which is hard, you know. But when you're sick all the time, you just can't. You know, I got to the point where I couldn't get out of bed. I'd become the butt of jokes at work because I'd missed so much work, and that was very painful because I knew I wasn't making up what was happening to me, but you know, nobody believed that I was going through what I was going through. And, you know, you go home and you're in bed and I can't even get out of bed to play with my kid, you know, so he's suffering too. Your whole quality of life suffers. Eating's no longer fun. You know, you don't even want to eat because it just hurts to eat. So, you know, when I think about all those things, it kind of, sorry, it makes me a little bit emotional because it was hard to live through that. And looking back at that time in my life and how miserable and how sad I was, and, you know, thinking to where I am now and how much my quality of life has improved, and, you know, just being able to live and, you know, get out of bed and do the dishes, you know, or just do simple things, you know, it's really amazing. It's really changed my life. And, you know,
no, I think you're doing really well. I realize it can be emotional for you because of what you've gone through. And but the fantastic thing is that you are, would you say you're on the road to good health, or you are healthy now?
I would say that I am still on the road to good health. I think that, being pregnant has been a little bit difficult.
I wouldn't know, but I'll give that. That's a given. Yeah.
So it's kind of being 9 months pregnant now with all the normal aches of pains in pregnancy. I'm like, okay, is this Crohn's or is this pregnancy? But it's mostly pregnancy. I would say I don't know how I would have gotten through this pregnancy without it. I did struggle at first with a lot of nausea and a lot of vomiting when I first got pregnant. And I just think that was just because of all the changes with my body and then trying to control my Crohn's systems, my Crohn's symptoms on top of that was just very difficult. But without the cannabis, I don't know how I would have gotten through. Now, the one thing I do want to stress is I'm not a smoker. I'm not a big smoker. I don't smoke flower hardly ever. I do use concentrates, but that's pretty much like for if I need immediate relief. And they're all concentrates, so they're high in CBG. But yeah, smoking is not really part of my... It's not part of anything that I do. I know a lot of people are concerned about, you know, how that affects the baby and that kind of thing. I mean, in my opinion, I would be more concerned about using a tobacco wrap than smoking cannabis while you're pregnant. So,
well, your comments are very interesting because last night I was looking up pregnancy and cannabis, and in the Center for Disease Control in the U.S. and also the federal government here in Canada, they both quote the dangers. I don't want to use that term, but the downside of cannabis and pregnancy. But there's always a qualifying word. It said may cause such and such. May cause such and such. There's nothing definitive about it. And the interesting thing is that both in the United States and Canada, they use the same studies as references. And the woman that I mentioned in the introduction that we interviewed, I think it's episode 149, that Olivia that we talked to, who took cannabis during her pregnancy every 8 hours, and her kids are fine. I mean, she was in a situation where she was losing weight, she couldn't eat or drink, and she was hospitalized. And cannabis is the result of her having healthy children.
Yeah.
And I think you're in the same situation. You have Crohn's disease, you're pregnant, you have to deal with your Crohn's disease, and the health of your child is paramount. And there is no clinical evidence that cannabis is going to harm your child. And right. If I can just back up one thing about these studies in Canada and the United States where they reference the same study, it's always about smoking cannabis.
Mm-hmm. Not ingesting.
Mm-hmm. Not ingesting.
Yeah.
And or any other use for that matter.
Right. Just for listeners who don't know, there's actually cannabinoids in mother's milk. So if we weren't meant to have it, why are there cannabinoids in mother's milk?
The biggest thing that I come up against is just people telling me, well, what do you think that's going to do to your baby? Like, it's helping you, but what is it going to do to your baby? Your baby's going to come out and have withdrawals. No. And that makes me laugh so hard. Because, yes, my body will produce its own cannabinoids for my child. So, you know, the thought of my child coming out and having a reaction as if they were, you know, hooked on some sort of drug, you know, like if I had been taking meth or, I don't know, just whatever, you know, that my child is going to somehow be stressed out from that. And I just think that's ridiculous. That's just people that haven't done their research.
Research, yeah. Annette, are you taking any pharmaceuticals at all?
I am not taking any pharmaceuticals
at all.
That's
incredible. With Crohn's, that's amazing that you're able to do that.
It is a big thing. I am a part of, on Facebook. I've joined a couple different support groups for people with Crohn's, and I see these women going through just awful things with their medication, surgery, hospitalization. And I just, I think my lucky stars, I live where I do and I can do what I do, because that could be my life. And it's not.
And what's a typical day look like for you as far as your regime?
Usually I wake up pretty early in the morning, because I do start having symptoms relatively early, probably about 3 or 4 in the morning. I'll get up and I'll take a dose, usually have a little bit of a snack, go back to bed, wake up, get my kiddo ready for school. When he's getting ready for school, I'm usually popping my gummies and, you know, getting things ready for him to go. If I have to, you know, take a couple jabs because I'm nauseous or something in the morning, I'll do that. Take him to school, come back, get my day started. And usually I'm just going about my business. It's pretty much like if you were just grabbing something out of the medicine cabinet, doing it really quick and then moving on with your life. So it kind of just slips in throughout my day. I'll just, you know, grab my edibles or whatever it is that I'm taking, and just grab them and go as I'm just kind of going about my day. Usually, I could be out running around doing all sorts of errands, but I'm constantly on the go, go, go. So my regimen is just like really quick, just grab this and take it real quick and go.
Yeah. I was just trying to get a sense of how much you use, et cetera.
Yeah. There's my biggest thing is, trying to make sure that I'm taking them at like the right time every day is kind of my downfall, what I struggle with my protocol. and that's probably one of the reasons why I still have issues with symptoms, is because I start feeling so good that I forget to medicate. And then I'm in trouble later because I'm like, oh yeah, you didn't medicate. You should probably go do that. So I guess the cannabis works a little bit too well for me because I tend to forget I'm sick sometimes. And then it's just, a matter of, well, we got to kind of get dosed back up so we're not feeling so bad. But
do you know what, Annette?
Just throughout the day.
Your baby's not going to come out crying. It's going to come out laughing.
I hope so. I had a really happy baby the first time around, so I'm hoping to have another really happy baby. so I'm just really excited.
Yeah, you're in a kind of an interesting dilemma where you have Crohn's and you don't know whether it's pregnancy issues you're dealing with or Crohn's disease. So you're in a bit of a balancing act, aren't you?
It is. Sometimes, usually when I have my Crohn's symptoms, I'm pretty used to them now, so I can recognize them. But every once in a while, it's like, okay, is this a baby or is this my tummy? I can't tell. Just because we're getting to that point. So.
Is it? Yeah. So this is your second child. Are you going to have more?
No. This was a surprise baby. Actually, I was suffering from PCOS and infertility prior to utilizing cannabis.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we had a woman who couldn't get pregnant, and we interviewed her, and the couple actually broke up because he wanted to be a dad. And it was the day afterwards that she found out she was pregnant.
Oh, wow.
Now they've got two children.
Yeah, we were not planning on any more babies. I really believed I was not going to have any more babies, but it wasn't possible. My doctor had told me before, forget it unless you do in vitro or something like that. It's not going to happen. And surprise, we have a baby on the way now. So thanks, cannabis.
Yeah, that's great. Now, you said that at one time you were overweight.
I was.
Did you lose the weight as a result of using cannabis, or is it just a normal process of dealing with Crohn's?
I believe that part of it was, I did start losing weight when my Crohn's disease was at its worst. That did start because of vomiting and not being able to eat and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I really started losing the weight after I started using cannabis, because I did a whole lifestyle change too. So I completely changed the way I was eating. I didn't do any fancy diets or anything like that. I just started shopping for things that were organic, trying not to eat processed foods, not going out to eat, monitoring my sugars, my salts, that kind of thing. And just trying to figure out like what I could eat without hurting myself. It just seems like what Crohn's, there's all sorts of diets that they recommend to you, eat this, don't eat that. And for me, it was like, forget it. I will just process of elimination, figure this out. What is okay for my body? What works for my body? And so I pretty much know what I can and can't have now. And then I just started going outside and being active. I had a very sedentary lifestyle before because I was a driver. So I changed my career. I quit my job and I joined the cannabis industry. And that way I could have access to my medicine without worrying for my livelihood. And then I started hiking. Since we live in beautiful Colorado and there's so many wonderful spaces that I can go out to for free, I just started hiking.
And you feel great now.
And I feel great. I feel the best I've felt since I gave birth the first time. I haven't been in this good of shape in that many years, and I'm very optimistic towards my future. Before I was looking at, I don't know how I'm going to make it to 65, and now I'm just like, wow, like I just don't know. Like there's the future is limitless at this point for me.
Is there this may sound like a stupid question, but Corey, do you know if people have actually, I think we've interviewed people have cured or cleared, eradicated Crohn's as a result of cannabis?
I think we have. Didn't we talk to a couple of people who actually have done that?
I think so. We have, yeah.
Back in the day, yeah.
I have heard of people who say that either their Crohn's in remission or they're completely cured of it.
Yeah.
For me, I want to believe that. I definitely want to believe it. It's when people start talking about autoimmune diseases, and that's not something that goes away, and we can't cure an autoimmune disease. And for me, it's like, why take away my hope? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to take away my hope. Don't take away, I won't take away yours. Don't take away mine. I believe that there could be a cure out there. There could be something, I believe that, I may be able to put myself into remission. I haven't quite been able to do that just yet. But at the same time, like I said, there are times where I forget to continue my protocol and be, on it. And my partner gives me a hard time. He's like, you could be cured by now if you would just stay on it. And I'm like, I know, I just forget. So, but yeah, that is a goal. Hopefully, I know we were trying to do the gram a day, with the FICO for a while. And it's just, it can be really hard to do that.
Just a guideline. It's just a guideline.
Yeah.
Yeah. Annette, this is fantastic. We appreciate you sharing your story with people about your Crohn's and pregnancy. And we're going to post this on January 28th, and you're due on January 26th. So send us a notice As soon as you have the baby.
Okay, I will.
Yeah, let us know.
Will
yeah.
do.
Okay, fantastic.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Annette.
Thank you, Annette. Thank you to our producer, Ron Zahar, and Mark in Belgium, who posts our podcasts on YouTube. And once again, we'd like to ask you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And also on the other platforms, we have iTunes, Spotify, write us a review so we can kind of move up in the rankings, Corey. We'll want to move up.
Moving on up.
Moving on up. And also, if you'd like to make a donation to Cannabis Health Radio, you can do that. You can make a one-time donation, or you can make a monthly donation on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And if everyone who listened donated $5 a month, we wouldn't have to ask for donations anymore.
And we would so appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. For more information and to search previous podcasts, visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is made possible by donations from our listeners. If you found the information helpful, please consider making a donation in any amount through our website. You can also help us share our message by leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. We are very grateful for your support. Thank you.